time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for February 28th. That's right, last day of February. Holidays today, there are just a few. We've got Floral Design Day, Open That Bottle Night. Seems appropriate, the last day of the month. Public Sleeping Day and National Tooth Fairy Day. So those are the holidays today. Birthdays today. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is 73 today. Norman Smiley or Smiley, depends on how you say it, is 61. Masato Tanaka is 53. Lance Hoyt is 49 today. And I want to shout out to my sister, Kathy. Happy birthday, Kathy. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join a Rock City Roller Derby. The men's team is Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fear. Check them out. Their seasons are ramping up right now as we get into it. But tomorrow will be March, you know, so things have been started. And, congratulations, the men's hockey team, USA, winning the gold last weekend, and the women winning gold, double gold going on. Very, very cool. Super excited about that. Let me introduce myself. I am the humble host of the show, and I guess I can say that. The Cash Man, I'm joined by, it looks like DC Dan Cole is joining us this morning. DC, there you are, DC. How's it going, buddy? Sorry, I started the music a little bit late, so it was like,
that's all good.
I just jumped right into it, but welcome to the show. Happy Saturday, last day of the month. There's a lot of things going on. How are you doing, DC? How the weather down in NC?
Cloudy, but no snow.
I think we had four in the 40s yesterday here.
Heat wave.
I know it is nice. We end up the month of February with a 40 degree day, still got ice everywhere on streets and everything, but it's, you know, cloudy, but what, you're like talking like in the 50s probably, you know?
Maybe 60 today, so can't really complain.
Oh, I am so jealous. But it's going to happen in due time here because we are the land of the four seasons, we'll say. We get every single one of them, sometimes too much of some of them. Like I've had enough of winter, especially, you know, now the Winter Olympics are done, it could go to spring and turn into summer. Oh, look at that bright sun. I got sun out too. It's amazing. It's a little bit bright out. But hey, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about some stuff today. Obviously, we have tonight Elimination Chamber. Oh boy, WWE's plans for WrestleMania are just falling apart left and right. You're definitely going to get into that. Talk a little bit about the Styles tribute on Monday. What's in the box? Yeah, we'll talk about what's in the box. Paramount comes in and displaces Netflix as the new purchaser of Warner Brothers Discovery, and what does that mean to us as wrestling fans? And TNA and Syracuse, just tickets went on sale last week. They were doing they're going to be up here doing a couple TV tapings in the middle of the week in April, so we definitely want to talk about that a little bit. But right off the bat, I want to talk about a little bit. I know we talked a lot about AJ Styles last week, AJ, because, you know, we were kind of like previewing Monday Night Raw. They were going to be doing a ceremony for him and everything. And so then now we got the ceremony. I knew that they were, you know, that they were being sincere. I think as I was watching Monday Night Raw, when all of a sudden TNA characters started popping up on Monday Night Raw, including our friend Jeremy Borash. And is he a character? I don't know. He is a character. Yes. JB is definitely a character. It was nice to see him. I know he's alive. He was at Monday Night Raw, but we had Kazarian. We had Abyss show up on, Abyss, who Chris Park is also a producer for WWE. If you watched any of that, Unreal series, you saw Chris Park all over that as a producer. He is Abyss, or was Abyss. He also was, attorney Chris Park, and he did some other things in TNA, but... You know, we saw Air Paris, AJ Styles' original tag team partner when AJ was in WCW so many years ago. It was a long time ago. And it was nice. I think the big surprise, obviously, was The Undertaker coming out. You know, I don't know why. I don't necessarily agree with everything The Undertaker says, but he is definitely an icon in that company. Definitely deserves the respect from everybody. But is he the guy who goes around and tells everybody they're in the Hall of Fame? Is he like on his motorcycle? Apparently so. He's 2 for 2 this year. Stephanie McMahon earlier this year, he alerted to. And then AJ Styles retiring, going into the Hall of Fame. My first question is, I guess we're not going to see AJ Styles anyplace else. You know, he's not going to show up in AEW. We had all these great, you know, fantasy matches in our heads that we would love to see. Osprey, Styles, you know, any of those guys. And apparently that's not happening now, because he is not only going to the Hall of Fame, but he is under a contract now to be a producer, to work with the young talents in NXT, which is not a bad deal. I mean, if anybody you're going to pick, he's definitely a good dude, because we've seen some people, you know, I mean, Kenny from the Spirit Squad is one of the producers. So, you know, I don't think he ever had the impact AJ Styles did, that's for sure, on the business. But DC, you get to see any of that?
I did not, as I am not watching WWE, because I just don't like the product anymore, and I don't like what the company stands for. My whole question when I saw this was this always their plan? Or was this thrown together when they kind of realized they botched his quote unquote retirement and knew that offers were going to be flying at him like crazy?
I wonder that, because the way, you know,
especially when they didn't tell him he was going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. That's true. That was a surprise. He admitted that was legitimately a surprise. Interesting thing is, you know, I think one of you or Rob may have brought it up, that AJ, why would AJ Styles have his last match in Saudi Arabia? You know, and that still dumbfounds me a little bit, you know, I don't know. I guess you really can't pick where your last match is, because sometimes it happens via injury, but I think that, that did kind of ring to me a little bit about him not being completely done yet. And maybe he's not. Who knows? Maybe he'll show up for a Mania or something in the future. You know, I mean, he still can do it. But he says he wants to stay home. I mean, his wife in the front row during the ceremony. His kids were there. He's got a kid who's bigger than him. It was interesting. We will miss him. He is a great performer. I think they kind of dropped the ball when his last match was on foreign ground and they did nothing. You know, nobody came out, you know, nobody acknowledged it, you know. And then this obviously this past Monday night, we got the last segment of the show that was all him. You know, they at 10:15, they come back from break and they go right to him coming out and talking, and then the whole locker room emptying on the stage, and then the Undertaker riding the motorcycle down the aisle and telling him that he'll be in the Hall of Fame, which, I mean, he deserves. I mean, you know, it's really interesting that I remember how so anti they were about any other company for such a long time, mentioning anything else. There's nothing in the world but us. That was their attitude. If it wasn't us, it's not there. It's not real. TNA, you know, tried and tried and tried and tried. Never were on the same footing as WWE. Never, you know, never. The best they ever did was go head-to-head one Monday night in their entire history. with WWE. And it was a disaster only because Hogan and Bischoff were involved in it. And it was, yep. it was not a good thing. But I don't know. I'm an AJ Styles fan. I just went to watch back. He was in Rochester for a UPW show at the Dome in the Minette Hall. And we had not. I just watched the match because they Champ posted it online. And AJ had nothing to do with the finish of the match. It was kind of a bummer because they brought him all the way there. And I mean, they drew their biggest crowd they ever had. 800 plus people there because AJ Styles, I think, something like that, was AJ was there. Numbers get blown up and stuff, but I was there too, so I definitely saw it, and I definitely talked with AJ a little bit. But you know what, he's a class guy, and you know, a family man, you know, and you know, if this is the truth, and you know, it's like, you know, and I believe, I don't doubt it. I mean, maybe at 48 it's time to retire. So Pat saying Vince was old school, that's why he wouldn't mention anything else. Well, Vince, I don't know if Vince probably would not have liked all the acknowledging of another company while this was going on. Heck, he wouldn't have liked them to do anything with TNA anyways, because like I said, they were the center of the universe. Nobody else, there's nobody else but them. So that's the way the company was. That's, you know, that, you know, for years and years and years. And it's like, you knew they were watching other people because they would sign them when they were available. You know, the guys they thought that definitely, and AJ was a perfect example. You know, I mean, he was the figurehead of TNA for many, many years. Since day one, he was the first X Division champion. The X Division used to be such an innovative championship that, you know, it's not quite what it was, but I mean, it really was just on even par as the, and that's when they had the NWA title as TNA's main title, NWA, TNA, or whatever it was, heavyweight champion. It was the NWA title, basically, till they split, you know. But the, I think that the created title of the X Division kind of created, it's like its own division, and there was guys, you know, and there was definitely, you had like prototypical guys you thought of when you thought of X Division, not, you know, 6 foot eight, 800 pound guys. You know, you thought of these guys that could work, you know, bounced off the ropes and did a lot of that stuff. And so it was, and he was a perfect example to start that off. And he, you know, he definitely made that title something in that company. Now, what it is in that company, not so much anymore. They still try to give it prominence, but, you know, I've been watching the TNA, but I felt, you know, I was a little bit sad just because I think now I'm never going to see AJ wrestle again, you know, because I was kind of hoping for some of the, you know, the other world out there that besides WWE, because he, you know, he was another guy who would show up and would be in catering, and, you know, and that was it, you know, and for a long, long, long time, he was a very tolerant guy. So, you know, I'm a fan of him though. So I always will be. DC, any other thoughts about AJ? You know, I mean, we got to meet him. I mean, I'm guessing one of those shows we met him when they came to this area.
I think so, but yeah, I am. Like, if he's happy, I guess that's all that should matter. I was looking forward to seeing him pop up other places. You know, having pipe dreams of seeing him in a big match at Wembley, perhaps.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with his run in WWE. He could have been utilized much better. Because when you think about it, it could be debated that his runs in TNA and New Japan were better. I feel like they never properly... I mean, he had a great run as champion.
He did. He did. I mean, he had some, he elevated some guys. He had some great matches with John Cena. He had some great matches with Bryan Danielson, you know.
The last stretch here, it's a random tag team pairing and that's it. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It seemed like his WWE run definitely fizzled. It started better than it ended.
Yeah, he came back from an injury and then immediately was injured again in the next match back, and that really held him off, for, I don't know, a good year and a half probably, I mean, in total time. So I felt bad for him because it's like, you know, was he, because remember he got injured in the match, like a minute into the match he got injured, and then it's like, was he, you know, we were questioning, was this real? Or was it just, you know, they were just trying to build a story on it? But then he was gone till after WrestleMania that year. So it was, he was definitely, you know, that's what your mission is when you work for WWE, is you want to go, you want to be on Mania. What, whether it's a main event or it's the Andre the Giant Battle Royale, you want to be in there someplace. You work for that company. Everybody gets used during those 2 days now, you know, and he wasn't able to because of the injury. And so, you know, so he had a rough time going, and he usually was not injured. He was a very injury free kind of guy. He never hurt anybody either. He was a consummate professional in the ring, and he will be missed. And I'm guessing we'll see him maybe some of these, you know, behind the scenes shots, or he'll come running out as an NXT producer to break people up or something. Or, you know, I just like where we see some of the guys now, like Jamie Noble and, you know, these guys in the Hurricane, Shane Helms there. We see him come out all the time. So, it, you know, I just, you know, it's, you know, it's unfortunate because some of my favorite wrestlers are trying to retire. And it's like, you know, they're not being replaced by guys I love just as much, you know? And so it makes it tough to be, you know, it's like, it's hard for WWE to create characters as well as AEW or any of the companies, TNA, you know, it's hard for them to create characters that you attach to. But, you know, we knew enough about AJ when he was in TNA because of his brief existence on Saturday Night's Main Event on WCW when he was tagging with Air Paris, and he made TV a bunch of times before the company was sold. I love the story came out this past week, you know, that he wouldn't sign with WWE because it was a pay cut. And plus his wife was going through school. So he didn't want to move up to Ohio to be in Ohio Valley Wrestling, which thank goodness he didn't, because it wasn't there very long. You know, they definitely moved back down to Deep South right after that. So, and that's one thing I have a lot of respect for him too, is to say no, because it was always kind of weird. It's like, where's this guy? He was such a big deal, you know, when we saw him in the beginning, you know, and then it's like that he was doing a lot of indies. That's what New Japan started, you know, TNA, you know, I think he was like a guy that, Jeff Jarrett pegged for TNA off of WCW stuff, or maybe it was JB. I don't know who it was when they started, but TNA was a rough start too in the very beginning, but man, it did definitely settle that down. So he, you know, I'm glad he's not going to TNA in wrestling, because I was scared that was going to be one of the things. I still think he probably could do maybe an indie once in a while if he wanted to, maybe down to support in his area down in Georgia where he lives.
Written into his contract, you can do indie appearances. The only place you're never allowed to appear is AEW.
Yeah, yeah. And so maybe and that could be it, because, I mean, I'm sure after about a month or two of being home, or even being a producer with NXT or a trainer, he probably is going to want to get out there and do something, you know, and I'm not closing the book on him just yet, but it's like, I think I'm closing the book on AEW. That's for sure. Just because, you know, when they put you in the Hall of Fame, make a big deal, have the Undertaker ride out. And it was nice. And it was really good for him. It's like, you could see it was hard for him to react to it because he was, I mean, he's a tough dude. He doesn't really get that emotional, you know, and it's like, it really hit him a little bit when the Undertaker came in and told him that, just a little bit, you know. I mean, he's like, you know, the jaw dropper there. So, but, you know, kudos to him, you know, and, you know, it's, I'm glad that they realized after that, and it could have been the whole time they wanted to do it in the United States, but they could have done it the Monday after they came back too, you know. They had to wait a couple of weeks.
Yeah, the timing, just something seems fishy.
Yeah, so, but, you know, especially the way, I think there's a lot of people that are critical about the way it ended over in Saudi Arabia, because nobody came out, you know, and he sat there and took in the adulation from, you know, from the crowd, but it wasn't like CM Punk shaking his hand and coming in the ring and all these guys coming up. And then you didn't see all that on TV either. You saw a lot of it after the cameras had dropped, all the people that came up and, you know, congratulated him. But it was really nice to see like some of the TNA guys like Abyss and JB, Frankie Kazarian, you know, like I said, those guys, they allowed them to do, you know, they acknowledged them as TNA. And that's, yeah, like I said, that's something Vince McMahon never would have done, you know, never would acknowledge any other place unless it was a major sport, you know, Lawrence Taylor, the New York Giants. Yeah, we'll give them that, you know, but I don't think we're going to give them another company that does the same thing. So that was, I think that, you know, that was a heck of a way to start the week. And it was, you know, it's fun. You know, it's worth actually just going and seeing some of the video they did, because there were some really sad people from it and everything. And I guess I was just thinking about all the times AJ wasn't on TV, but he was there. And so he was back in catering. And so I'm guessing people talked to him and, you know, got, you know, he's always well, he always gave people advice. And, you know, and some people really took it to heart when he left. Saw Charlotte Flair was really upset. So, but, you know, kudos to AJ, big fan, you know, and hope, who knows, I don't think we'll see the last of him, but who knows when we'll see him again. So, that being said, we move on to, you know, last night we had GCW here in Rochester. I was hoping Rob was going to pop in. I did not get to go. I saw pictures, Brody Lee Jr., Brody there in the ring, cutting a promo, it looked like, with a hat on backwards and stuff. And so they were looked like it was a good crowd. So, kudos to them. It's a bummer I didn't make it out, but, you know, that was pretty neat. Maybe we'll talk to him next week about it or whatever. But, tonight we've got, so last night, you know, talking about TV wrestling this week, we got Dynamite. We had, SmackDown and Raw, and I mean, WWE on first thing on Raw, first match on Raw, Bronson Reed gets injured. And so Bronson, I don't know what plans they had for him for WrestleMania, but he tore his bicep and it happened right in the middle of the match. And it's like they have been cursed when it comes to what they want to do, because now they had the thing is he was in a match for the last spot on the Elimination Chamber, which is tonight, that he was supposed to win it. That's what I hear. So they had to put Jey Uso over on it. So Jey Uso got the win, you know, obviously not expecting it. But the interesting thing is they took Jey Uso out last night on SmackDown. They took him out, you know, and he will not be able to wrestle in the Elimination Chamber match. You know, as the show comes on the air, there's an ambulance going off with Jey Uso in the back. So obviously that wasn't their plan. You know, on the fly, they just erased what they did on the fly. And they added another person to it, which ended up being Logan Paul. I mean, he was in last year, so I was surprised why he wasn't in this year's, you know. But obviously they got plans. But that's been interesting for them, because they're trying to build up WrestleMania. They have a pay-per-view tonight. They're probably crossing their fingers and hoping nobody gets hurt, because the vision, you know, Seth Rollins out, Bron Breakker out, Bronson Reed out. Who's that leave you with? Logan Paul? Logan Paul. And it's the vision has gotten very.
Boston Theory?
Yeah, in Boston Theory. And the vision has gotten very myopic, we'll say. Okay. They're not seeing as well. But it's kind of like the spoof I put on the title of last week's show called Bron Broken. So, and that was the week before. So those guys are the premier group of the company, and they're all on the injured list now, most of them. Though last night on SmackDown, we had a reveal of who the mask guy was, and it was nobody. I mean, it was nobody, nobody knew. They pulled the mask off the guy. And then I went and did a little research and found out that the guy they pulled the mask off last night was a trainee of Seth Rollins from his training company. And so, and in fact, this guy also did the same finish as Seth Rollins too. So that was unveiled last night on SmackDown of who, his name was Don Furio. And there's rumors Seth Rollins is now almost ready to come back. And so I think they were going to do is they were going to, maybe they'll ally him with Seth Rollins, and, you know, cause they both do the same finisher, obviously. But have Seth Rollins be the guy next time the Black Mask comes out. Cause it's so obviously written that way that the next time.
But why rush Rollins back? He doesn't have a story with Logan Paul. He doesn't have a story with Austin Theory.
Well, he got taken. Remember, he got taken out of the group. So, I mean, but the guys, right. The guys that took him out are out.
Are out.
Yeah. So,
and why rush him back for a meaningless match?
It might be something.
Unless they're going to have him be the surprise.
In the box?
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He'd be in the crate. Yeah. Yeah. So the interesting thing about that is he still has a month until WrestleMania. So they can still drag this, you know, they can still, you know, I mean, they, you know, we know who the, I mean, we saw who the guy, and it's funny is when they pulled the mask off, everyone went, who the hell is that? I mean, serious. It was like nobody knew who this guy was.
No reaction.
It was absolutely no reaction. It was, and it was Logan Paul who pulled the mask off too. So I think they're writing into it that Seth Rollins is back before Mania, and this is going to be a guy with him, and he's going to, he, remember, he got taken out, so he's going to have a little revenge against the Vision. But I think it, you know, it was interesting that they did that reveal last night, because you can't have two reveals on the Elimination Chamber tonight with the crate in the back that, by all ideas, is probably going to be Danhausen, because Danhausen now has officially been removed from the AEW website, even though he's, I guess he's still on the active booking list, but he's been removed from the website. So is it, you know, is it Danhausen worthy of this big buildup? I don't know if that's him. What do you think?
I don't see him fitting into WWE. Maybe a couple of years ago when Vince was running things.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't see how he fits into the picture right now.
He is, you know, you remember him in Ring of Honor, right? When he used to put teeth in people's mouths.
Teeth in people's mouths, yeah.
Yeah. I never really got that, but that was very gimmicky wrestling stuff. So, I mean, he, you know what? He's a Santino Marella kind of guy, you know? He's definitely, you know, you're going to come out, he's not going to wrestle a lot. He's going to, like, you know, he's gonna make you laugh by doing silly things. It's probably a character some of the writers have been dying for to be able to write for, because they don't get, there's no sense. Our truth is it, you know, for sense of guys to make you laugh. And our truth spent a whole segment last night teaching all the wrestlers in the back how to get the ESPN app. It was stupid. It didn't make me laugh, but it was stupid how long they spent on it, you know? And then they laughed, cause the dude who comes out and, what's his name? Man, I can't remember his name now. He's the one who comes out and claims everybody's male, I can't remember. The dude used to tag team with the guys with the half shirts, and he now is a solo wrestler because the other guy's hurt. Pretty Deadly, is that it? Pretty Deadly, is that the name?
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
But yeah, and it's like toxic masculinity. That's his catchphrase. He came out and he did it to those guys, and they all laughed at him. So he goes, "It's toxic." You know, and it's like, I think it's funny. I mean, believe me, if you're looking for something to do, that guy, you know, that's something. You know, you get on TV, people are going to remember what your catchphrase is, because everyone yells it when he says it. So, but yeah, so there, I think that maybe there, you know, who knows? That could be a Triple H thing too. He's got a lot to worry about now. And I think, especially with like how we get, you know, it's come out this week that they have discount tickets now for WrestleMania nights, both of them. You can save money. I can't remember, was it like 25% off or something? They are very worried about, you do it 2 years in a row in the same place and you overcharge for 2 years. You think if you went the first year, you're going to be like, oh yeah, I had the worst seats in the world. And I paid a hefty ransom to be able to see this show. You think I'm coming back? Uh-uh. And I think that's what's happening right now. I mean, people were so excited. They put out a list of Monday Night Raw and SmackDown events, you know, for the next month or whatever, that are going on sale soon. And I said, oh yeah, yeah, wait till you see the prices, folks. You know, it's, you know, it's, they're outpricing themselves. And, you know, it's funny is TKO is so blind to that, you know, we should have been charging people more for the longest time. You know, we've been undercharging them. Yeah. Now, once you start charging more, look what happens. You start having big empty spots. I saw some shots of upcoming shows with ticket sales. You think AEW puts the people in certain areas just to make it look full? Wait till you see what WWE is going to be doing in the next few months. You know,
in its own bubble, TKO raising prices, maybe not the biggest deal in the world, but prices on everything are going up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, everything. Yeah, I'm sorry, but
can anybody justify WrestleMania tickets right now?
I'm not paying $300.
Do I want to pay my utilities for 2 months, or yeah, do I want to go to a WrestleMania where I don't know. The only match right now we know we're getting is Punk and Reigns.
Yeah, you know,
like if WWE was invested in some long-term storytelling like they used to, and you kind of had an idea of what matches to expect. But
yeah, that's another thing too.
I would not put that. I would not pay that money for what product they have right now.
That's the thing too. Is there people say that they're jumbling up the matchups because they think that they're weak matchups because you know. They're weak to the point that people have seen them already. Cody and Drew McIntyre that's what it looks like we're going towards. You know, it's like, have we seen that? Yeah. In the last 6 months, multiple times,
many times.
Yeah. You know, it's like, do people want to see it again? I don't know. I've kind of burned out on Cody. I mean, you know what? It's like, I'm not a fan of the faces as it is, but man, he's getting some burn, you know. It's like, I think that, you know, and they're not going to do anything drastic, you know, as much as everybody wants someone to go heel or go face or whatever, you know. I think that we're going to get Sami Zayn though going heel. I think that's going to happen tonight on the Elimination Chamber because he keeps getting told to shut up by everybody when he involving the match. And he's overhearing other people say, I pick you as my heart. You know, yesterday it was like there was something on SmackDown where he was overhearing Cody talk to someone else who said, oh, it was to Tom. You know, it was one of the, I can't remember who it was, but he said that he goes, you're the guy I'm worried most about in this match. And then you know, you see Sami Zayn around the corner listening. So it's like, oh, that's setting up something, you know, and but nevertheless, I'd rather see that, to be honest with you. Sami Zayn and anybody. Sami Zayn and Cody, Sami Zayn and Drew McIntyre. I don't need to see Drew McIntyre and Cody again. We've spent 6 months already of this, you know? And so they're kind of trying to jumble up the matchups a little bit, thinking maybe that will draw people. I tell you what will draw people. Drop the ticket prices, you know? Make it something. And, you know, it's a destination city, so usually you can get Vegas Airlines cheaper than normal because Vegas is a resort town, you know, or whatever. It's a, you know, people go there for vacation and that's what they're hoping on. I don't know. We were talking last week, I think, about how they had screwed New Orleans when they announced it. Originally it was going to be in New Orleans this year and then they changed their mind like, what, 30 days later before tickets could go on sale, you know. So I don't know. They're making some bad decisions. I think TKO is forcing some bad decisions in WWE. I'm not going to put all the blame on the heads there, like Triple H and stuff, even though Triple H is in charge of creative, and creative has been creatively nothing, you know.
I was just going to ask, like, at this point, do you see that TKO is going to make somebody take the fall for all of this?
Oh, yeah.
And isn't Triple H like,
we bought you and we spent all our money on you and now we lost you know, $70 million in the past, you know, quarter or whatever it was. It could be. I mean, they're talking, there's I've heard rumors this past week. They're talking Vince McMahon is trying to get some Saudis together and they want to buy back WWE, and this might not be the worst thing for them, you know. I mean, because as much as, you know, I know Vince is a terrible person, but at least he, you know, he didn't outprice tickets because of a corporate structure that's running everything. He made it family. He made it so families could go. He made it for kids, though. He said he never did, but he did make it for kids. You know, I mean, it was, you know, maybe because he's a kid, I don't know, but there's that rumor had made the rounds this past week. Maybe Vince is in the box. No. Then he'd fire Triple H immediately. That'd be great, wouldn't it? That would put some real drama on the WWE TV, you know. I'm back. No, I don't know if I could handle it. It's bad enough Stephanie McMahon's going into the Hall of Fame. It's on top, you know. Stephanie McMahon.
I forgot to ask you.
Yeah.
What's the order for those Hall of Fame speeches?
Oh, good question. Oh, Steph's last, obviously. You know, Triple H was last.
So AJ Styles is going to be the warm-up act for Stephanie McMahon?
I hope not. I hope there's other people put in there, too. I hope it's not just two people right now, but that's what we got right now. We got a month before WrestleMania, so month and a week. Well, actually, it's later in April, so we got a month and a half at this point right now. But, yeah, I didn't think about that. You know, it's and, you know, I haven't watched the Hall of Fame in years just because – I don't know. It breaks kayfabe heavily, and it's like and they're doing it the way they do it now is just so they can get a crowd, and they can make money off of the ceremony. It really is. It's like, you know. So I don't know if they're with the sincerity of the WrestleMania of WWE Hall of Fame, because I'm not going to call it Wrestling Hall of Fame, because there is a Wrestling Hall of Fame elsewhere that actually, you know, bases it on other things than if you work for my company or not. And I'm AJ, you know, I mean, think about it. AJ never came to WWE. He'd never be in the Hall of Fame, but there are people who are in the Hall of Fame is like the, you know, the, that like from like 40 years ago that never worked for WWE. But then again, WWE wasn't around then too. So I think they did put some people who never worked for the company in there. And then there's Coco Beware. No, I was just looking at pictures from that because
then there's Queen Charmel.
Oh yeah, Queen Charmel. Charmel, you know what? Yeah, I don't know why that happened, because I didn't think Booker T had that much pull in the company, but you know, they just were like, we don't have enough women in this Hall of Fame. It's like, okay, all the other ones are dead, so we can't. You know, and it's interesting to think about that. So. Let me move on to, so I'll briefly talk about it. We've got the Elimination Chamber tonight. I'll just go through the lineup very quickly. It's at the same time as, if you were going to watch, AEW Collision, which is taped, which probably will probably make it more people have already seen the results of AEW Collision. But tonight, this is the lineup for WWE Elimination Chamber. It's going to be in Chicago. Main event's going to be CM Punk versus Finn Balor for the World Heavyweight Championship. You think a month before WrestleMania they're going to change the heavyweight champion? Not this year. We got Becky Lynch versus AJ Lee for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. I think this is be AJ Lee's first singles match since coming back. I don't know. I'm not a fan of either. I mean, I like Becky Lynch, but I don't think she's the greatest thing in the world, and I'm tired of hearing it. Then we got the two Elimination Chamber matches. Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and Logan Paul in the men's. And the winner of that gets a shot at the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 42. The women's are Tiffany Stratton, Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Kiana James, and Raquel Rodriguez. And they get a shot at the women's championship at WrestleMania 42. Now, we're not sure which one, because I don't think Liv Morgan made her choice yet on who she's going
to. Yeah, I thought she chose Stephanie.
Oh, did she choose? Okay, so she chose Stephanie. Oh, yeah, they've been building that up a little bit. Yeah, you're right. We got and then Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis will open the mystery crate that reads, deliver to WWE. Do not open it until 2/28/26. I'm sure someone had to have peeked in there. I don't know, but... SmackDown opened last night with Jey Uso being placed in an ambulance following an attack by a mysterious person. Logan Paul defeated Jacob Fatu with the help of Drew McIntyre in a match to determine Jey's replacement in the Elimination Chamber. So no Jacob Fatu in the did I say he was in there? No, yeah, he's not in the Elimination Chamber. It's funny because they were building him up to be involved in the match, the title match at WrestleMania. And then they took him out last night with Drew McIntyre. So I have a feeling he's still going to find some way to get in there. Maybe a three-way with him and Cody. Maybe that will like make me not hate it as much as I'm thinking about right now. But then where does that leave Jay? He's you know, taken to the, you know, maybe we'll find out before WrestleMania who attacked him, and then they'll have.
They'll say he won't get the chance to run it back.
Yeah, he probably will. Yeah, so. So that's going on tonight. Elimination Chamber's streaming starts at 7 p.m. on ESPN Unlimited. And like I said tonight.
Sorry, it's not worth $30.
No. It's, you know, remember the good old days when I remember good old days when I never paid for a pay-per-view. I just watched it with a little line down the middle, yep. You know, on cable, on, you know, the pay-per-view channel. I'm sure Vince probably bought my money if he could get it, but he can't. So I did not have it then to buy. But there's been many a times I've watched pay-per-views that way. And I've gone over with a friend to watch pay-per-views since they've gone to ESPN a couple times, and we do not watch it on the ESPN app. There's other ways to find it, we'll say. I know that those try to get shut down, but there's guys in the chat room who won't pay that money to see it. You know, and they're WWE blinder fans. You know, they nothing can go wrong. They do things wrong by WWE, but unfortunately, So I get it only because I have Disney Plus, and it's like a gateway to the ESPN app. That's the only way I can watch it at home. So, but that's going on tonight. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's you're not going to see anything drastic beyond setting up the complete WrestleMania shows. You know, that's what's going to fall out from this, you know. And I don't care. You know, I mean, I'm not, the funny thing is that I'm not even caring about WrestleMania. And there was some big news about WrestleMania that came out yesterday, which was that the first hour of both shows are going to be shown. One's going to, on Saturday night, the first hour is going to be televised on ESPN Plus, so you don't have to buy the app for the first hour on Saturday. And on Sunday, the first hour is going to be on ESPN. So,
did I also see they're bumping up the start times?
What is it?
I thought I saw something where they went from a 4 o'clock start time to like a 2:30 start time or something.
Really? They do 3 hours of pre-show, so I'm guessing the real. I mean, the cards are only last year was it six matches on each night? It wasn't like the long term ones, the 12 match pay per views, and it ended. I know it ended before 11 every night, so I think that was a big plus last year. Well, maybe it was five matches. I don't know, but if they are moving it up, it's probably just going to be for pre show stuff where you get the talking heads. We get to see, you know, the recently
it's being advertised that it starts at 2:30.
Now this is
days.
This is vague.
But WWE has not confirmed whether it applies to the main card or the kickoff pre-show.
I think it's a kickoff because I think remember they're in Vegas. So what's 2:30 Eastern? Maybe it's 2:30 Central, or that I think is Vegas Central time. Yeah, no, it's not West Coast time. It's 2 hours difference from us. So that would be like Mountain time. So that would be
I think it's Mountain time.
Yeah. So that would be 2 hours difference. So if it was 2:30, it'd be
but that's 2:30 local time.
Yeah. Okay. So it'd be
4:30 here.
Yeah. 4:30, 5:30, something like that. So it makes sense because they always do a couple hours of pre-show and they got to show you all the packages over and over and over until you're sick to death of them. And then
an empty arena.
And then they'll show the packages during the show to kill time between matches. So it's interesting that they're doing the first hours for free. Technically, you have to buy cable to have ESPN Plus and ESPN. But I think that was an interesting thing that came out. You know, I think that to me, does that kind of reeks of desperation for people to. Because in the olden days, you remember they used to do the pre-shows and they go, okay, now you got to buy it on pay-per-view and we'll be starting in just a minute on pay-per-view. And then they would shut off the free preview. That sounds like what they're doing on ESPN. They're like,
I mean, it also, it does make kind of sense for ESPN because we'll be in that time of year where hockey playoffs will be winding down.
Yeah.
Baseball will just be starting. They won't have a ton of content. So, I mean, it's a smart move for them, but it does still seem desperate.
It does. And it's funny. It's like, you know, as soon as they cut off, they're going to go to billiards or something, you know.
World Series of Darts.
World Series of Darts. Wait a second. What happened to WrestleMania? I think it's funny. So that was something that came out yesterday. I think that was interesting news because, it does reek of desperation, but it also reeks of doing what they used to do with pay-per-views too, which was, you know, give you the first hour free and have Doc Hendricks telling you, you better hit that purchase button on your remote so you can watch this. It is a kind of a flashback thing. We'll see what happens with that. They're just hurting. I hate to see if they open up and there's an empty stadium because it's like right now they're like 10,000 people behind where they were a year ago. And I don't think it's going to get much better. you know, unless they start giving it away. If you guys want to send us there, I will take a ticket. You know, you fly me there, you give me tickets, you know, some little FaceTime with guys, I'll help you promote it there. I'll throw that out there.
You but sell out cash.
I am a sellout. I am a sellout. I'll be watching it, whether I'm paying attention or not. It'll be on my TV. So some other news I want to talk about. Paramount, Skydance Corporation, and Warner Brothers Discovery announced that they are entering into a definitive merger agreement under which Paramount will acquire Warner Brothers Discovery, forming a premier global media and entertainment company focused on expanding consumer choice and empowering creative talent worldwide. Wow, what a nice way to write that. Under the terms of the agreement, Paramount will pay $31 a share in cash for all outstanding shares of Warner Brothers Discovery. The transaction has been unanimously approved by the board of directors of both companies and is expected to close in the third quarter of 2026, which would be later this year, 6 months from now, probably. Subject to customary closing conditions, including regulatory clearance and approval by Warner Brothers Discovery shareholders. A vote's expected to be early in spring of 2026. In the event the transaction is not closed by September 30th, Warner Brothers Discovery shareholders will receive a 25-cent per share ticking fee for each quarter until closing. So, hey, what that means is Netflix is no longer in the business of buying Warner Brothers Discovery. And I think that's almost not good. I'm not a big Paramount fan. Paramount's MAGA, you know, so it's like I'm kind of worried about where it's going to go. But there's so many arms to this transaction. You know, there was when we were talking about it with Netflix. You know, I said, could Netflix be the company that streams WWE and AEW? Well, that never will happen now because Paramount now. But it's a groundbreaker. I mean, this is, you know, almost a monopoly, I think. You know, both of them were. Even when Netflix was buying it, it was almost a monopoly. This is something that also can either go easy, you know, being approved, you know, with regulatory things like through the FCC and stuff, or it can go rough. And it depends on who you kiss up to. So I think
we all know who all these people are in bed with. So they're not going to have any problems.
Yeah. So that I find that very interesting. And it's like, I don't know what that's going to do because AEW is part of Warner Brothers Discovery. We found out last week on the show that Warner Brothers Discovery owns a small portion of AEW. Enough that that they kind of favor it when it comes to programming stuff like that, and you know they have a good relationship with the company, enough that you can say all the S words you want. Apparently, this past week, you know that was which was interesting. We didn't get it into this past week's show yet, though. Yeah, that I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait for the fallout to see what happens. A lot of bigger brains need to go through and look at what really could happen in the world of pro wrestling involving this, but it could mean the AEW would go to Paramount, which is another app. I think it's like much like Peacock, you'd have to pay for it. I think, you know, but not like paying for ESPN Plus or whatever the app is, that $30 a month for to watch WWE pay-per-views. But any thoughts on that, DC? I mean, this is like an initial thing I just saw last night. So it's not like, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal because I'm a fan of a lot of the programs. You know, I mean, Paramount does Star Trek. They have a lot of thing. They have a lot of they do sports. So what do you think?
This isn't good for anybody other than the people involved who are going to be making money off of it. So it should not be allowed to happen. But unfortunately, we live in a world and an administration where they're just going to turn a blind eye. And of course, they're going to let it happen. So,
yeah, there's more to be seen on this. And we will get into it more as we go on. But right now, it kind of, you know, kills that whole Netflix talk that we were, you know, we did a couple months ago. So, which is fine. Ooh, I thought my microphone stopped there for a second. I must have hit something. We'll see what happens. I'll wait till, like I said, the bigger brains break things down, and they will. There's guys out there that will tear this apart and look exactly how it's going to affect everything. Another piece of news that I wanted to do to at least swing by a little bit was, and I wonder, you know, I mentioned earlier about Vince McMahon possibly wanting to purchase WWE back. So this past week, TK Group's Holdings released its fourth quarter statements, and they offered some insight into the ongoing legal and financial matters tied to the McMahon era. They put out a press release that said that Vince McMahon actually paid them back $12.2 million related to the board of directors investigating him following the lawsuit of 2024 by Janelle Grant, which pretty much eliminated Vince McMahon from WWE. So it's interesting that he paid them back for the investigation they did against him. I mean, he owed them money too because of the non-disclosure agreements that were done through the company and not personally through him. So he ended up paying all this. So I wonder if he was making good with this just so now he can go and purchase them, maybe get on a good footing with these guys again. Remember, right before he got fired, he ended up firing half the board of directors on this company. I remember that he came back and he's like, okay, he's gone. I own a majority of the stock. I get to dictate this. And he did that. And those were the people that had voted against him. So now this is kind of like a make good, I guess. There's some things happening with the Janelle Grant case still. And I think in my head, what I've been reading so far, I think it's going to be settled out of court. If that happens, then, you know, obviously he gets away again, you know, without getting put in the clink, you know? But I get a feeling
rich this is, people don't go to jail, Cash.
I know. That's the feeling I'm getting is he's going to settle out and then, you know what? And then he'll be in good standings again with the company. So I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. But I don't want to focus on him too much because I did see a lot of stuff this week also on him and that car accident he had and they have like the police camera footage of the guy talking to him after he hit somebody doing 100 miles per hour. And
he could have been arrested for that.
Yeah. He was mad because the lady he wouldn't get out of the way. So she kind of blinked into his lane as he was coming up it. And so he said he was late for a birthday party for one of his grandkids. So you see the picture of his car. It was just wrecked, the whole front end, just destroyed. He's lucky he didn't get hurt, or worse, he probably did, but lucky he didn't get hurt worse than whatever happened because a 100 miles per hour collision is not a good speed to go. We'll say that and hit somebody while they're driving and the same doing 55 in the same direction. So I've seen enough of him this week. Let's see. Oh, so that's, let me get some other news and then we'll get out of here. I'm just kind of like whipping through the news tonight, by the way, if you're going to watch AEW Collision and this was recorded last Wednesday in Denver, Colorado. And by the way, before we get to what's going on this week, what did you think of this past week's Dynamite? Penelope Ford got hurt in the middle of the match in a tag match because Rob is very insistent on that on them dropping the tag or winning the tag titles because he doesn't want Willow Nightingale to be running around with a bunch of belts. But Penelope Ford got hurt in the middle of that match. I just watched it back before we came on this morning. But it was an interesting show. I mean, I like the double-headed quarter by MJF. I thought that was interesting. But it's funny is once him and Hangman, you know, used a few bad words, man, it didn't stop them after that. And then the crowd was chanting just terrible things during the show. And then it's because MJF comes out and starts making fun of them for pot smokers and stuff, you know, and is like, what did you think overall of this past week's Dynamite?
No, I enjoyed it. That main event was fantastic. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Put Revolution in a massive stadium, and that is shaping up to be a massive, massive card.
Yeah, the good thing is they had a lot of time to set this up, you know, and they still have another 2 weeks before we get to the pay-per-view. They had a lot of time to set this up, but I loved that they flipped a coin between MJF and Hangman to figure out what the stips were going to be, and then obviously MJF had the double-headed quarter, which immediately made them make it the what Hangman wanted, which, you know, that'll be a fun pay-per-view. It's good. I like tonight. In fact, I'm excited tonight. So I'll go through tonight what's going on Collision. You're going to get Okada and Fletcher versus Dante Martin and Darius Martin.
I'll say it right. Proto Okada.
Hey, what's that?
Proto Okada.
Proto Okada. Yes. I'm hoping there's a split between those guys because I would love to see them wrestle each other. And maybe there is because they both got belts, you know. We got the Callis family, Josh Alexander, Lance Archer, who is his birthday today. Happy birthday, Lance Archer. Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero. And Trent, it's nice to see Trent back, getting moved back into things there. Versus the Death Riders, Pac, Claudio, Wheeler, and Daniel Garcia, eight-man tag. AEW champion MJF speaks. AEW women's champion Thekla speaks. Andrade versus Ishii. Tony Storm versus Zeta Steel, Tommaso Ciampa versus Jay Lethal, and the Brawling Birds, Jamie Hayter and Alex Windsor in action. So that's cool. That was taped in Denver at the Mission Ballroom, you know, and I'm sure we'll have all sorts. I'm sure they'll be able to mute them, I guess, on some of the chants if they get crazy this week. But yeah, it was, I loved it because I love it that people think that Warner Brothers Discovery were unhappy with them because of the F ice chants that were going on. They didn't care. They didn't care at all. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, you don't want that on the air. I mean, just cause you got little kids watching, but you know, they weren't punished by it. And they felt that, you know, a lot of people were like rumored that, that's why, Brody was off the week after because they, you know, except for the fact that he did a backstage interview where they chanted the same thing during it, but they felt he was off TV because of the Warner Brothers Discovery. It had nothing to do with that. People just read too much into what they think is going on. So, but that's going on tonight. It sounds like a great show, and that one's you don't have to pay $30 for. So, just putting that out there. You know, I did mention earlier in the show, Bronson Reed, he was injured in the first match on the episode of Raw this past week. He competed against Jey Uso and the OG El Grande Americano, which I'm already tired of that. Got a Grande Americano, and then you got OG Grande, and then, you know, it's like, whatever. He's a great wrestler. I like him a lot. Just take the mask off. But they're in a triple threat elimination qualifier. Bronson Reed attempted a breakup pin attempt between Uso and Americano, and slow motion replay showed on the broadcast. At the moment, he appeared to suffer an injury. As soon as he broke the pin attempt up, Reed immediately looked and clutched his arm. Seemed to be a bicep. It was a bicep tear. He had surgery yesterday. He is out. He is not going to be part of WrestleMania. And I feel kind of bad for him because he's not a terrible dude. I mean, but it's just bad luck. I'll call it the Heyman curse. You know, Paul Heyman, all these guys that are working underneath him, and they all seem to keep getting hurt week after week. You lose one every week for a couple of weeks. It's like, it's going to hurt the product for WrestleMania. So why not get crazy, you know, and mess around and change up the lineups and just make something interesting, make something that make people want to go to Vegas to see it. There's people who automatically, will go to Vegas because it's WrestleMania. They don't care what is on the card. They want to be at WrestleMania. But I think they're far and fewer because DC, I'm not pointing a finger or anything, but you used to go to all the WrestleManias. I mean,
I had a stretch where I went 5 or 6 years in a row because it was fun. It was a lot about, you know, exploring new places and being part of a big show like that, like it used to be, an attraction. Now it's a moneymaker.
Yeah. It was, you know, I mean, I remember when they used to not do anything before the show. They used to not have the access, you know, or the anything. In fact, the only WrestleMania I ever went to was the one at MetLife Stadium. That had the access where Brody Lee, before he ever debuted on I'm sorry, Luke Harper, before he ever debuted on WWE TV, he was there. And the guy sitting next to me at WrestleMania was telling me about meeting him and stuff. And I was like, I know that dude, man. It's like, you know, I was excited for him, you know, but, you know, he was, that was his first WrestleMania experience. But it was like that, that was access was like, you know, I mean, that was, they used to have just the show and that was it, you know, it'd be like, and then they started adding things to it. And now it's a destination vacation, WrestleMania, with the most unpredictable Monday Night Raw following. And I think all that, that's kind of just lip service now. I don't feel like there's anything unpredictable about the last couple of years Raw following Monday Night, except for the one where Ziggler won the title on the day after WrestleMania. And I think that was the
Mania we went to.
Yeah, yeah. That was about it. The most unpredictable thing, you know, it's like, or that's when people debut. That's when they like hide people and they come out, you know, they've signed them and wait for WrestleMania to get done, because Vince McMahon would book WrestleMania 9 months in advance, you know, he had it all booked already. Now they're just kind of with all the injuries and everything, they've just never had a real clean build up to WrestleMania in the last few
years. Too busy counting their money to.
Yeah, let's put another pay-per-view after the Royal Rumble. No, don't do that. Let's stick with what the results of the Rumble were. Then you get like 8 weeks to set up what's happening at Mania instead of 4 weeks, and then we got an Elimination Chamber, and then we got, then you, you know, people, you know, if they're going to, you know, if they're going to buy their tickets, they got to wait till after, you know, the Elimination Chamber. And that's what they're hoping for this year. So hopefully the Elimination Chamber tonight is something special. I doubt it. But hopefully it is. So I'm about done with the news. I can't think of anything else I want to talk about. Oh, I did. This is in there. I don't think it matters much. But WWE couple from NXT got married. Cal Dixon and former NXT talent Summer Sorrell are now married. Cal Dixon wrestles with NXT right now. That was the last piece of news. But DC, anything I'm missing happened this week? Talk myself.
Some unfortunate injuries, and that's, I don't know. The Bronson one seemed so like innocuous. Like it didn't look like anything. The Penelope Ford one, I'm surprised she wasn't hurt more.
She got started to get up. When she landed, she got up on one knee, and then they went to one of those commercial things, you know, where, and then she wasn't seen again in the match. It was like, And
feel bad for Harley Cameron. She's getting a ton of hate.
Because
if you watch the replay,
she's supposed to catch her.
She moved out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. She actually disabled her.
She deactivated Twitter.
Yeah. So yeah. Poor Harley. I like Harley a lot. So it's like, there's a week of injuries. I guess that's what we can classify this. And you know what? I guess we'll know when we do the show next week, more of what's going to be happening with WWE WrestleMania, as well as Revolution, which is 2 weeks away for AEW. On that note, thank you guys in the chat room for hanging out. Sorry about last week. Something happened. And I actually figured out what it was, and I actually undid it about an hour before the show started today, because I was playing with it for hours, trying to figure out why I couldn't stream from Zoom to Facebook. And it has something to do with a business account. I have no idea, because we don't make any money on this. This is all nothing but we're donating all our time and all our money to make our show keep happening. So I don't know what happened, but it was a business setting in Facebook that didn't allow us to send. So last week, if you wanted to see it, you had to watch the replay that I posted about 6 hours after we were done. So, but DC, thank you so much for the week. We'll talk this week, and I want to thank everybody in the chat room. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. And as always, please be our friend on social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, and don't forget all our old shows are on iTunes or thepainclinic.net. Thepainclinic.net. You can catch all our old shows. Please subscribe and please comment. Nice comments are always appreciated. Thank you. Have a great week, everybody.